You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and thank you so much to everybody for tuning in and checking out the shows. And a special thank you goes out to all of you who have been helping to spread the word. A lot of people are hearing about the Paranormal Portal, and it's been amazing, and I have all of you to thank for that. So thank you all, and if any of you out there have stories of your very own that you'd like to share on the show, I'd love to hear from you. So just email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and we'll get in touch with you and make it happen. So we got a great show lined up for you guys today. This is a Paranormal Portal podcast first, and this is a return visit by one of our guests, and She was just an amazing guest the first time around, and she's got just a whole host of incredible experiences. And so she said, "Hey, I got more to share." And I said, "Well, let's make this happen. Let's get it done." So she is returning today, and this is Annie from Washington is joining us. So I hope you guys are ready because we're going in. Welcome to the show, Annie.
Hi, Brad. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and thanks so much for being here again. Our first visit was just a wonderful conversation, so I'm really excited to have you back and to hear what else has been going on or what else has that we didn't have time for in the first episode, but this is a great pleasure, so I'm excited to hear what you got today.
Well, I was listening to your episode with Mike Beaver that was earlier in January, and he was talking about attachments. Mm-hmm. And I actually had an experience. It reminded me of an experience that I had, because there's a bookstore in town where they have meditation and different classes and stuff. Uh-huh. So I had gone to that, and I really enjoyed those. But that night when I went to bed, as I'm going to sleep, I could feel like my cat was walking on the bed. Mm-hmm. By my feet, you know, those little footprints that they make, those little bit of pressure that sure. they have. Yeah. And I looked up and there's no cat.
No.
And I thought, oh, great. What did I bring home? What am I going to do about it? You know? But I was tired, so I just went back to sleep. And then a couple of days later, I went to another meditation class, and when it was over, we were all visiting, and this woman comes up to me and she says, you have something attached to you, and she just brushed it off with her hand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she just swept it away. So that was a relief to me, and I never had any experience with that after that. But, he had a lot to say about that. A lot of it was new to me, so I'll probably check out his website.
Yeah, he was a great guy, and a lot of fun to talk to him as well.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to bring up was Jason Quitt. He's an interdimensional traveler.
Okay.
And he mentions about there are entities, and I had heard this before, and I'll go into that a little bit later, but there are, and they feed off of negative emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mike covered that a little bit too, but I don't know if they're responsible for all the things that he thought they were. But because my understanding is they're just a different life form. They're a different life form, and mm-hmm. that's how they survive. They feed off of negative emotions, but I feel like people need to be aware of that because what they do is they will amplify your mm-hmm. negative emotions. So if you're angry, they will feed into that, and they will amplify your anger or your depression or you know, any of those things that are considered negative. So when I heard that on one of his, on Gaia, I thought, well, you know, that's probably true. So I'm going to try, and when those thoughts come up, I'm just going to tell them to go away, because that's what he said. Just, he tells them to go away. And so that's what I did. And it really changed things for me mm-hmm. because I became a lot happier.
Oh, good.
And a lot more content with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel that there's a lot in that, and you have to, it's like you have to, you're monitoring your thoughts, and when those things come, and especially when you go into the past,
mm-hmm.
you start reliving past sad events and stuff like that, then I just tell it, you know, go away. I'm not doing that, and then I will focus on something more positive. And it's really made a difference. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, that's a great exercise. That's a good reminder. As and I think many people forget about that. Is that we do have a sovereignty. We can control a lot of these situations. And can say, hey, stop. That's enough. Get no more. And in most cases, the results are incredibly positive, of people just claiming their space.
Yeah, and I find that with other people, like if a family member's angry or something, and I think that they're over the top,
mm-hmm.
then I think, oh boy, what what is influencing them? And you just kind of have to walk away from that until they calm down, because once they calm down, that entity will leave and go somewhere else, and then you can actually talk to them about whatever is troubling, you know.
Yes, yeah, exactly. There's a diffusion for sure. And I would like to point out that, and this is not a viewpoint that I've heard often, but I've heard it, I think Don actually stumbled onto it, and it was this speaker, and I don't remember the gentleman's name, but I think he was on Coast to Coast, and he was talking about shadow people and dark entities, and he said that in a First Nations viewpoint, some of those are viewed very positively because they actually feed off of those negative emotions, and it's kind of like, you know, like sharks have those little fish that ride along with them and kind of clean their skin. And,
yeah.
And it seems like there's a view, and I don't know, you know, I mean, take it for whatever you will, but that these shadow people can be very beneficial in that way. But I don't know. I just thought it was a really unique and kind of a cool possibility that maybe they are here serving a purpose, just kind of cleaning it up and processing it.
You know what? I think if you take that attitude and you tell them that,
mm-hmm.
I think that's probably what happens.
Yeah.
As long as you're working in connection with them and say, yeah, go ahead, take my negative energy. And then, you know, you can go after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leave any time after that.
Yeah, exactly.
There was another thing. My boys, when they were teenagers, a couple of them got into, they thought witchcraft was cool. And they it never affected them negatively, fortunately, but they played around with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things they would do is they would go, they would turn out the lights. This would be at night. They'd turn out the lights, and they would think really angry thoughts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they could actually see the scary, dark-shaped form.
Oh, wow.
And it reminds me of years and years ago, I read a book about thought being, what was the word? Thoughts are things. That's what it said. And I thought, yeah, sure they are. Well, science has proved that thoughts are things because we're radiating this energy, right? This
right.
electromagnetic energy. But it actually creates thought forms, these thought forms. And now I wonder, they said it would dissipate after a while, but you wonder if it really has, how much of a, can you imagine two people really angry and creating these thought forms around them?
Yeah, you wonder, do they really fade away, you know?
Yeah.
Or is there a creation involved with that, that you're giving something enough energy that it becomes its own thing?
Yeah, ooh. And then maybe that's why it takes so long to cool off after a while.
Yeah, right, exactly. Very interesting. I was just saying, very interesting. That's wild. I've never heard of that.
Another thing they had discovered was psychic vamping, or what they call psychic vampires.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and you've heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they said they had gone to a party in town one night. It was a small town. And one of the boys, that's what he was doing. He said everybody was just kind of laying there. They were just like they had no energy. They're just laying there, you know, just kind of not party or anything. And they knew exactly who was doing the vamping. So by that time, they learned how to control it. And my son vamped him, and he left. And right after that, the party just picked right up, and everybody had a good time. But what I had read about before is if you're around someone, and typically when you're around that person, they make you start feeling tired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of times people don't know that they're vamping, but that's what happens is they're vamping, they're feeding off your energy.
Wow, yeah, that's a great point. I know I've met plenty of people in my life that have basically sucked me dry.
Yeah, they don't. A lot of times, you know, they're nice people, they're whining and complaining and everything, and they don't realize that they're pulling energy from you. They feel better when they walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're drained. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't say I know how to deal with that, except you just go away and do something that makes you feel better. Because
yeah.
I haven't had too much experience with that. There was something that I haven't heard on a lot of shows, and that's auras.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because in my younger days, I had talked to this young fellow a couple times. He was really gifted. He could see auras really well. But back in those days, back in the 60s when nobody knew too much. It was just beginning to be known and books were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he had walked into I guess it's at school. I imagine he was in school and the entire room was red.
Oh.
And he didn't know why he could see these colors. They checked his eyes. His eyes were okay. The doctor said he was okay. So, of course, he was sent to a psychiatrist.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. Well, finally, in his late teens, one of his relatives gave him a book on auras. And then he realized, well, this is what's going on. I'm not crazy. I'm not sick or anything. I can just see these colors. And so after that, it was just a case of learning what they meant.
Right.
Yeah, so I had some experiences of those with myself. There was a time, it was a sad time, it was a tragedy.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
I won't go into it, but this one woman was very sympathetic, you know, just very sympathetic. And she's sitting next to me, and her forearms were a neon blue, like a teal blue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, And I didn't have to do any effort where usually you have to soften your eyes. It's like you go a little bit cross-eyed to see this. But it was just right there in front of me. She had blue arms. And another time when I was visiting my mother, and she seemed to be all right. And she's elderly by this time. And she seemed to be all right. But her arms were a dull gold, which meant that she wasn't feeling well. If it's the color is dull, not the color gold itself. But it was dull, which meant that she wasn't feeling well. So at that time, I was trying to learn what the colors meant and so on. But then, you know, you're raising kids, you go on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just think. I've got my list here. Yeah.
It's fine.
I'm going to get into a really interesting story here. I lived in Colorado for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I belong to the Liberal Catholic Church. And the Liberal Catholic Church broke off from the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, at the end of the 1800s. because they disagreed with the Catholic Church and that they did not believe that the Pope was infallible.
Oh, okay.
And so, but they kept a lot of the traditions and the ceremony, which is really cool. And but the reason I joined them was, as you know, a lot of churches think that psychic ability and such is from the devil.
Oh, sure.
And I thought, I don't think so. You know, I really don't think so. And so I answered an ad and said they were into meditation and that type of thing. But they felt that as you progress spiritually, you will develop these abilities too, because you're raising your own vibration, so you're more in connection with these higher realms. That doesn't mean that every psychic is a really good person, because some of them will use it for bad means.
Sure.
But it is a natural kind of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to share some stories that the priest had told me.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, so he had done, he was a professor in, okay, in a university. Every town in Colorado has a university. So he was a professor there, and they knew about him and his church and some of his beliefs and stuff like that. Well, this young man had won a scholarship to that university. He was from Africa.
Oh.
And he had beat out the son of the witch doctor.
Oh.
Okay. So he came to the university, and he was having health problems. And they went to doctor after doctor, and he had tests. Nobody could find out what was wrong. So finally they called in the father, and he went to their house, and the young man was married. And he said, well, the problem is that this witch doctor has put a curse on you.
Oh, no.
And that is why you're having these problems. So he knew what to do. And one of the things which I actually practiced myself was you take sea salt. And I found out why sea salt, because it's not processed.
Oh, okay.
It's not overly processed. So it's still in a natural state. So he put it in the windows and he did some other things, but he didn't say what they were. And the man was free of his symptoms, all the headaches and all the other problems he was having. He was free of them.
Oh, cool.
And so he was doing fine, and after a month, his wife thought, well, we're saved, you know, this is good. So she took everything out, and immediately it came back again. So the father had to go back over there and set everything up. But, of course, now we know with the remote viewing and all that, that these curses are actually, how do you say it, I don't know the words that you would use, but it's... we have that ability to affect other people.
Oh, sure.
And this witch doctor knew how to do that.
Mm.
And so that. But we also have our ways of protecting ourselves, too.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think even, you know, in just to sidetrack a little, I think, you know, in terms of curses and stuff, I think that it's sometimes intentional and sometimes it's unintentional. And it can be just holding ill regard for somebody. And that in turn becomes a curse because, you know, it's projecting that negativity onto some other person. And, you know, if you believe in karma at all, it's probably not a good practice to get into. But we do have the ability, I believe, to shield and to process that emotion or that energy before it gets to us and to protect ourselves. But, you know, I think that it's probably something we could do more of on the show is to talk about those kind of ways to protect yourself.
Yeah, well, even Jason Quitt, and also, here I go, trying to remember a name, James, he lives down south in Washington.
Oh, okay.
And I can't think of his name right now, and he has a ranch down there with Bigfoot on it, and, you know, flying saucers going over, and black helicopters going over,
oh,
and
wow.
All of that. And they both say it's important to shield yourself every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day,
yeah.
Especially the more with light workers, it's especially important for light workers,
yes,
to shield themselves every day.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that completely.
Yeah. So another story he told me was this was a case where of a little girl. I'm assuming she's about 7, 8, 9, somewhere in that age.
Okay.
And one night she just started screaming, and she screamed, and she screamed, and she screamed.
Oh, geez.
And the poor parents are beside themselves because they just didn't know what to do about it. And again, the father was recommended to them, so he went over there. And what had happened was there was a portal in her bedroom.
Oh, my God.
And an entity had come through, and it had gone in this little girl, and the entity was scared. It had actually accidentally gone through the portal, and it was using this little girl to try and get help, and it didn't know how to do anything except make her scream.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so Father Worley guided the entity back over, and then he closed the portal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he had some cool stories. He really did. Mm-hmm. Now, I had a friend of mine who went to the church, too, and she lived quite a ways away, about an hour away. And so I was down visiting her, and she said she had one of those townhouses, you know, that are two-story.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, do you feel anything? She's one of the few people that I could talk to about this.
Sure.
You know, we both had these kind of things happen. So she says, see if you feel anything. So I go up, you know, I'm going through her house, and it didn't quite feel comfortable as soon as I walked in. And then I went into her walk-in closet, and I said, this is it. This is the place.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I thought so. So she went to, and I told her what the father had done. And so she went to church next Sunday, and she talked to him about it. She said what had been happening is she saw this dark shadow. She saw it at the foot of her bed.
Oh, no.
And then she said, and I can't recall how many times that happened, but then it was kneeling beside her bed looking at her.
Oh.
Yeah, and the father was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, okay, we are going to come over. So they came over, and they cleared the place. And after that, she didn't have any. She closed the portal, and she didn't have any more problems. But, yeah, it surprised me that once it was kneeling and looking at her, even the father was concerned about that.
Yeah, that's really troubling. Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
Now, which reminds me of another story.
Sure.
Wait, let me think about this.
Okay. Now, these are incredible. I mean, I love the fact that you're bringing not only these experiences, but you're also bringing some great points to the table about, you know, best practices and things that should be done. And I think that most people don't feel empowered. So I think it's great to have this discussion.
We really are. And that's been, I mean, I know it sounds conspiracy thing, but I really think we've been dumbed down.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody would disagree with that.
So that we're much easier to control.
Yeah, that could very well be.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people now who are waking us up to the power that we really have.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to Father again,
mm-hmm.
I had purchased a mobile home, and it didn't quite feel right to me, so I asked them if they would come down and bless it.
Mm-hmm.
So the younger father came down that time, and so they went through it. They said, we don't pick up anything except for this mirror that you have. which I had actually brought with me, and he said, "We feel a lot of sadness." And I said, "Well, that's understandable. I get that, you know." So they cleared that, and he said, "Well, I'm going to put an angel in your home to protect it and keep you all safe."
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So my son and his girlfriend were staying with me at the time, and they were in the living room, and I used to work at home, and I worked in the back of the house. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the back, and they're in the living room, and they see me. They don't actually see me. They see a shadow, and they see this big shadow come out, and they figure, well, the light from the hall must be exaggerating her shadow, and it goes over towards the refrigerator, and then it goes back down the hall again. So later we're sitting there talking, getting ready to watch a movie or something. He says, did you go to the refrigerator, you know, about a half hour ago or so? And I said, no, I've been working the whole time. Mm-hmm. So they're freaking out, like, oh my God, we got a ghost. We got a ghost in the house. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the next time I'm in church, I'm going, Father, we have a ghost in our house. And he just laughed, and he said, no. He said, that's the angel. He said, the angel is walking back and forth, up and down the hall, to make sure that your house is safe. And he said, the angel's 8 feet tall.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, they're big. They're very big. Wow. So I reassured my son, and he felt much better about it after that.
Huh. That's pretty powerful.
It is. It's nice to know that the angel was there. I felt better then.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. That would be pretty powerful. Nice to have a sentinel.
Yes, it is. But I wonder if we can't do that ourselves, you know?
I think so. I mean, you know, energy follows intention, right? So I don't see why we couldn't call an angel to come help us and hold vigil.
Yeah. Well, I had, names, and this person's so well known. The FBI agent, he used to be FBI, and he's had a lot of experiences of his own. But he said one of the things he does for his self-protection is he built a castle around himself. Hmm. And he imagines a castle.
Oh.
So I took it a step further, okay? Because I was told by a psychic that I had a German Shepherd that protects me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I make my German Shepherd really big, and I give him superpowers.
Oh, nice.
Oh. And then I've had a Black Panther, so it's like totems. It's like having totems, so I have a Black Panther, and I give that one superpowers, too. And then, you know, I just picture them because, now this is interesting. I was reading this book about this one. It's a book that teaches, it's teaching you things, but he said he had this property. And a big property. Mm-hmm. And he heard hunters shooting off guns, and he's thinking, oh my gosh, the animals, you know. And he materialized a giant bear.
Oh.
That immediately ran off. And after that, he didn't hear the guns anymore going off. But he did hear in town, probably a small town because you're out in the country, that these two hunters were run off a property by a giant bear.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I take that to heart, and I've got my panther and my German Shepherd.
Oh, that's awesome.
After me.
That's an awesome story, because I think that, you know, there's the talk of tulpas, which are thought forms, and you know, there's a history going back thousands of years about the creation of tulpas and a lot of esoteric practices. So I think that that's a real thing. I think that manifesting is very real.
Yeah, so I do that on a daily basis because this is what and I wish I could remember his name because he has really interesting stories and he has a book out. But he said, you know, the more energy I give these thought forms, mm-hmm. the more they materialize, whether I can see them or not, they're there.
Oh, that's very true. I really believe in that kind of stuff wholeheartedly. Because again, energy follows intention, getting back to, I guess we've been talking about this kind of throughout the whole show so far, but I think that, you know, by virtue of us, you know, I do believe in a divine power, a divine consciousness, and call it whatever you choose, but I think that by virtue of us being alive, we have a spark of that divinity within us. Now, if we attribute the creation to this divine consciousness. Well, then, you know, we have a divine spark within us. So why do we negate our own divinity, but yet we wholeheartedly assign it to this other presence or being or consciousness or whatever, you know, without acknowledging our own? And I think that that's not an act of ego. I think it's an act of awakening and inheritance, because, you know, life is the manifestation of this divine in my eyes. And I'm not trying to preach or to make anybody believe anything, but just basically vocalizing my own beliefs. But I think that we are capable of amazing things. We just haven't been taught that.
Right. And, you know, in quantum theory and all that, we're all one. So why mm-hmm. wouldn't we be a part of God? Why wouldn't we have those abilities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even Jesus said, I honor other religions. Any belief system that makes somebody a better person is fine with me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, this is the one I was raised in. This is what I know. But even Jesus said, you will do what I can do, and you will do even greater things.
Yeah, exactly. And he also said, it's done unto you as you believe. So there you go.
Yeah. So I have this story. This is a little more personal. But my son got divorced, and he got custody. Of the 2-year-old son.
Okay.
And the son, and they were staying at our house at the time. So I had insomnia one night. I'm at 1:00 in the morning, my office on the computer, and my son comes in, you know, kind of excited and distressed, and he goes, Mom, there's something in my room. There's something in my room. Go see what it is. You know, I thought, okay. So as I'm walking down the hall, you know, tell me something about it, you know, and you know, he says, well, it's not good. It's not good. I thought, oh, good. And you want me to go see what it is, right? Yeah. Hey, thanks, son. Glad you have that much confidence in me. Well, and then I said, well, where's the boy? And he said, he's in the room. And I'm thinking, okay, you left him in there? So immediately I rushed in, and oh, my gosh, the air was so heavy in that room. Mm. Just this negative energy, and just so heavy, kind of freaked me out a little. So I immediately got the boy. He was still asleep, and I took him out, and he says, well, what do you think it is? And I went back in, and I just, you know, you have to kind of listen. It's a kind of a listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized it was his mother. She was really angry. She was very angry. And, of course, she had stayed with us, too, so she knew which room they were going to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't want to hurt anybody. She wasn't there to hurt anybody.
Right.
She was there to let him know how angry she was. Yeah, so I went out and I told him. I said, okay, it's your ex. And he said, okay, I know what to do about it. So he went back in, and he took care of it, and they went back to bed, and everything was fine. But, there was something I wanted to cover. Because one of the things that Mike Beaver mentioned was that entities can jump into people, and not the normal person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say an alcoholic when they're on a bender. Because
mm-hmm.
he had mentioned Dr. Ritchie's book, that he had talked about that. Dr. Ritchie, when he was with the entity that he was told was mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, and he was taken on the tour, they went to a bar where a lot of sailors hung out, because it's on the East Coast. And, of course, they're getting smashed out of their minds, right? And one of them just passed right out, and he saw because we have a body around us that protects us, an energy body.
Mm-hmm.
He saw that, and this is where Mike was talking about on the top of the head. He saw it open up like a zipper. And this entity just jumped right in.
Oh, geez.
And I had read of another story where a woman who could see these entities was at a bar, and she said that she saw, and these are alcoholics that are still addicted, ghosts, right?
Mm.
She saw them crowding around this man who obviously had too much to drink. And even before then, when he was trying to leave, they were trying to prevent him from leaving. And I think that's one of the reasons that people who are addicted might have a difficult time breaking free of those addictions, because those entities, or they're not entities, they're actually ghosts, will hang around them and try and vicariously feel the effects of that addiction.
Wow.
So, unfortunately, my son's ex was using drugs, and this happened one night. And so she had a ghost that was, it was an Irish alcoholic from God knows when, you know. And so my son actually talked to him for, you know, like almost an hour, talked to this ghost that was inside her.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then and I really didn't think to ask him more questions at the time, because we, you know, in conversations you just tend to go on to something else.
Sure.
Yeah, but of course it's only a temporary possession, because as soon as a person sleeps it off or sobers up, then the entity is gone. But it's up there, the ghost, I should say. But it's something that people need to be aware of too. I don't know if it happens when people who drink socially, but they don't usually get drunk. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens, because I think I've kind of seen that when they do get really tipsy and then they start arguing with people and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, there's no question that, you know, that kind of stuff happens. I've been warned about that, you know, most of my life. I was warned about bars and hospitals are places where these people may walk in and you know, attach themselves, and so to be very careful.
Yeah, it's good to put up a shield in a situation like that. And that's the same thing. I have to wonder, like with drug addictions, when they do these horrible things, I know that the brain chemistry changes, but is it just the brain chemistry, or is it, you know, negative entities that are affecting them? And I don't mean ghosts, I mean negative entities.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
are affecting the behavior of these people.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. No. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up. We're going in.
All right, moving on to something a little lighter. We'll just go back to ghosts now.
Okay. Well, no, again, though, I think those are important things to discuss, because I don't think many people have been taught these things throughout their lives for whatever reasons. And I guess it's because, you know, our Western civilization doesn't really have a whole lot of spirituality to it. So it's up to us to re-explore the old ways and the old wisdoms and see how they apply.
That's true, because I was just listening to someone else who was saying that our idea that science rules all, and unfortunately, I have other people who agree with me, too, who are in the different fields. But our sciences they're paid for by the government, or they're paid for by wealthy people who have their own agendas.
Yeah, well, science can be purchased, there's no question. I mean, cigarettes were absolutely healthy for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a big proof right there. They had studies in science to show it, so there you have it.
So as long as they can get people to think that there is no God, or that, you know, that this is all there is, and then you die, then that and people believe that, then they don't have access to their superpowers.
Yeah, right.
And they don't... All right, to give you an example, this one thing I had read, and I thought about it a lot, because this person said, the reason the world is so chaotic is because people's thoughts are so chaotic. If people were able to focus their thoughts, the world could become peaceful overnight. And they actually did a study of this. They did a study with the meditation, and they asked for volunteers, and they had a large group, like hundreds or a thousand people who meditated on Washington, D.C., which is a high crime area, and they focused their meditation of peaceful thoughts and so on Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And of course, they can't all do it at once, but they're all during this time period, you know, because even in meditation, you phase in and out. But during this time period, they all meditated, and they found that the crime rate in Washington, D.C. went down over 20% that morning. It could have been higher. It's just, I don't remember the exact figure, but I know it was at least 20%.
That's a beautiful thing. I mean, that's a beautiful example, and I remember that. I remember hearing about that focused intention going towards Washington, D.C., and that it was significant. So I guess, you know, that's a really great point. You know, we can control a lot more than we believe we can.
Yeah, and it goes back to controlling our thoughts, because in the end, you have to, it's yourself you have to work on.
Yes.
So if you can, you know, like I keep my thoughts positive and my whole attitude about life changed and I became happy.
Yeah.
And appreciating the things I have.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that gratitude is the highest vibration.
Oh.
So if you put yourself in a state of gratitude, that is the highest vibration.
Well, that's a beautiful thought. I agree. I know it certainly feels better to live that way.
Yes, it does. It feels a lot better.
Very true. Very, very true.
Okay, so this is a situation. This was back in my younger days again.
Mm-hmm.
This is back when people used to actually visit each other when women didn't have to work.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, you got bored, but you didn't have to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was visiting a friend, and our kids are playing in the backyard. And she was, I guess you'd call her a born-again Christian, because at that time I was like a mental Christian. Yeah, I believed that, but I didn't feel anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. She was psychic, so, you know. And so, and she felt that was a gift, and she got that in church, actually. She had an experience in church where she just saw this white light in front of her and just surrounding her. But so anyway, we're there and we're talking, and she said she was having some problems with her husband. And I don't know why this came out of my mouth. I said, well, why don't we pray about it? Because that's just not me, you know. And she says, well, okay, where do you want to pray? That was more her style, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it's you and your husband, you know, and the bedroom is where you might feel closest, so let's go there. So, because just in case the kids walked in, we didn't want them interrupting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as soon as we walked through the door, I thought, this is the wrong room. This isn't the right room.
Uh-huh.
And so I stood in the doorway, and I was looking down the hall. Okay, where are we supposed to go? And I looked at her, and I said, we're supposed to go to another room. She says, okay. So we go down the hall, and I said, it's this room. Well, it was her son's room. So uh-huh. She had two sons, and she had a daughter. And we go, and as soon as I walked in that door, I just started, and this is new to me. This mm-hmm. had never happened to me, and it hasn't happened to me since. I just started crying,
mm.
and she became alarmed, of course, and I could hardly get the words out, and I said, I feel a funeral in this room. Mm. Oh, my God.
Oof.
You know, oh, yeah, you can imagine her reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So she is praying and praying, and oh my God, you know, I'll do anything. I will do anything. You know, you're in the bargaining stage. I will do anything. I mean, she actually took me seriously, which in itself was kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I need to stop crying because I need to get some control here. Immediately, I stopped crying, just like that.
Mm.
And I said, okay, what's going to happen? Because she knew somehow we knew which son it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, what's going to happen to this boy? And I pictured him as a young man. And I told her, and she said, and so she was relieved. But this had gone on for like 10, 15 minutes. And so I told her, okay, I see him. He's okay. He's going to be okay. She said, okay. Well, I wish I could remember the rest of this story because it's really cool points, but I'll do the best I can because this is like a few decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
A year later, he was hit by a car.
Oh.
Right next to the house. He ran into the street chasing a ball.
Oh, no.
And so she had relayed this story to me. So she's in the hospital. And I think it was the second day in the hospital. And they went to the cafeteria. She's by herself. She went to the cafeteria to get something to eat. She sits at the table. and a newspaper is open in front of her. And on that page, there was a poem. And the poem was something about, and this is the part that's hard for me to remember, because it was a really nice poem. She read it to me. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it said, but it was about something distressful that happened and how this person was dealing with it. And in the end of the poem said something about on the third day that everything was all right. Somehow it came into this poem. And 3 days later, they knew that he was all right, that he was going to be okay, and that there would be no residual effects from the accident.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, I was happy to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, and it's unfortunate that it had to have happened, but at least the ending is positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You also, you were talking about sleep paralysis, that you've had a lot of those episodes.
I did, yeah. I went through a real period of it, and actually, my wife and I were talking, and it turns out, and she never mentioned it to me before, but she had experienced it in that same house quite a bit.
Oh, really? The same house?
Yep, yep. It was whatever was going on there. And it was my grandparents' old house, but she apparently experienced it too. So it was quite a run of some activity there.
Yeah, well, I was listening to one story about this gal who had sleep paralysis, and she heard this heavy breathing, and she scared her, and she went to sleep. And I thought, you know, it might not have been an entity, because I've had a few times when my mind was awake, my body was totally asleep. Mm-hmm. And the first time that I recall, I'm sleeping, right? And the reason I knew that my body was, I'm watching my husband get ready for work, and honestly, when I think about it now, I didn't think about whether my eyes were opened or closed. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you're kind of outside your body, your eyelids could be closed. Mm-hmm. But I heard this breathing, you know, and I realized it was me. And that's and that's how I realized I was still asleep.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so sometimes if they hear heavy breathing, it may just be your own.
Yeah, I have no doubt that there is clinical sleep paralysis, where it's just a disconnect between our mind and our body, and that chemical's not quite flushed out of the system yet. But you know, I've also, you know, what I experienced, it really had an entity attached to it, I'm sure, and just through a period of like, it was through a period of like 2 years that I was going through this, and it wasn't until I learned how to break it. And once I learned how to break it, it's like it quit happening then completely. So
wow. I've never heard of it going on that long.
Yeah, it was a real long spell. It was really horrible. It's about the most helpless feeling I can ever have experienced in my life. And I just think, wow. And I kind of think, is this what a coma would be like? You know, to have a conscious mind but be unable to do anything, and how horrible would that be? So I don't know. That
is a good point, because I wasn't in a coma, but I had an experience where I had a reaction to something. Oh, and my body just became completely relaxed. I mean like I'm just crashed out of my work desk. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I just a few minutes before that happened, I turned to my coworker and I said, I don't feel well, and it there I am on the desk. So,
oh my
and
gosh.
I was sitting in the hospital, and they sent me to the ER. So here I am, and I would go in and out of it. And I think what happened was my blood pressure had dropped significantly.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and so, and I can hear everything. I'm perfectly awake in my mind, mm-hmm. but my body's not responding.
Wow!
And yeah, and the doctor's yelling at me, and all I can think of is, "Will you stop yelling at me?" Because they're trying to get you to respond.
Man. Yeah, I suppose they want you to wake up, but there's nothing you can do.
But yeah, you wonder, so in a coma, are people aware of what's going around them or not? You know, now my mother wasn't when she was in a coma, and she didn't know I was there. Remember I said when mm-hmm. she died, she just went straight, you know. Oh, and that's another thing. I had said that her first thought was, the pain is gone. And her second thought was, I feel so light. And then she went out of the hospital. She didn't know I was there. Mm-hmm. So she couldn't hear me. in the coma. But I was listening to someone else in a podcast who had it was on Gaia, that was it. They're doing, I wouldn't call them near death, I'd call them survivor death experiences.
Okay.
But that is exactly what that woman said when she died. Her first thought was, the pain is gone, and her second thought was, I feel so light.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So I had the weird sleep paralysis. We had gone to Tombstone. We were living in Arizona at the time. Mm-hmm. And we had gone to Tombstone, and we're staying in this motel room. And I woke up at night, and I couldn't move. And, of course, sleep paralysis, the normal sleep paralysis, your body does that naturally, so you're not sleepwalking.
Yes, yep.
Otherwise, you'd be acting out your dreams. So I'm waking up, and I thought, and I'm hearing this buzzing sound. You know, there's this constant buzzing sound. And I'm thinking, okay, this is what it is, but it's weird because mm-hmm. I can't move.
Right.
Like before, I just went back to sleep, but I'm not going back to sleep, and I don't feel comfortable. I'm hearing this buzzing sound, and it's scary. Mm-hmm. And I tried so hard to get my hand to move, so I thought, if I can just wake up, you know, if I just get my husband to wake up, like you did with your wife, if I can just get her to move, or, you know, or wake her up or something. Mm-hmm. And but what was different about this was that whatever it was, I could sense what it was. But it wasn't alive. Mm. It was an AI.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was like small. I didn't get the impression of anything big, and I had the impression it was just up above me and to the right, and it was thinking, "What is this? What is this?" Mm-hmm. So like I'm being examined, and I can't move.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then eventually, and I kept slipping in and out of sleep, and then I'd wake up and I'd be right back there again, but eventually I just went right back to sleep again.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, that one was different. I didn't feel like it was a dark energy or anything. It was just this AI going, what is this?
Well, I'm sure there's all kinds of different consciousnesses out there, you know, even the AI consciousness. Yep.
Yeah. So I just have one more story.
Okay. By all means.
Yeah, yeah, and we're back to ghost stories again. So, my sister, poor thing, and this is something I want to bring up too. Everybody thinks, you know, like telepathy would be so cool, and it, to me, it's just not like they used to show in Outer Limits and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's not like that at all. Mm-hmm. But And who wants to know what everybody's thinking, and how do you keep your own thoughts straight if you're being bombarded with other people's thoughts, you know?
Sure.
So evolutionary-wise, I don't think we're ready for this yet, mm-hmm. especially when we don't have control of our thoughts.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, but anyway, one night she saw green orbs above her bed. This is when she was a teenager. And kind of freaked her out a little, and she rolled over and went back to sleep. Another night, she felt someone sit on her bed. She talked to me about this, and she could see the depression where they were sitting on the bed. And I know there are a fair number of people have had that experience, but we both figured it was my brother who had passed away.
Mm.
Yeah. But later on, we're both in our 20s at that time. We're married. We got our kids and everything, and she was living in Huntington Beach in California. Mm-hmm. And so I went down to spend the weekend with her, and the next morning I get up, and why people ask me this, I don't know. She says, "Do you feel anything weird in the house?" And I go, "Yes." Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Oh, dang, I knew it, you know?" So it turns out, yes, she had a ghost in the house. And then later on, she told me about some of the experiences. So she had two sons, and they were both about somewhere between 7 and 10, somewhere in that age range. Mm-hmm. So the one boy, he would get scared, and he kept his door closed. But he would see the doorknob turn.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other boy, the ghost would come in, and he'd just say, you know, the older one, "Go away. I'm tired. Leave me alone." So the daughter was still in a crib. She's still a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
and she's in the crib. So my sister went in one night to check on her, and she saw this little girl ghost, probably about 3-4 years old, somewhere 3 to 5 years of age, and she was dressed in this granny nightgown, and she was trying to wake her daughter up so she would play with her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so apparently this little ghost was going around to all the kids trying to get them to play with her.
That's kind of a heartbreaker, isn't it, though?
Well, you know, my son says that's not possible. His strong... Now, that one, I think, really might be a ghost, because she never got a bad feeling about it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But my son says to be really careful with that, because sometimes you'll have entities that pretend they're little kids.
Yes, exactly.
Because we naturally want to protect little children, right?
Yep.
So he said, never, never invite them.
No.
In any way, shape, or form.
I've been saying that on the show for years. It's like, you know, I'm not a big believer in children's spirits because, you know, and we are pre-programmed as if you're a normal person, we want to help children. And I think that some of these entities rely on predation. Well, the most efficient way to get through all their defenses is to look helpless. And to appeal to our desire to be good people. And appearing as a child is about the quickest way to do that.
Well, that reminds me of another thing that happened. Mm-hmm. Two more things that actually happened. But anyway, it just goes on and on. So my friend and I, we were, this is the one of the friend that went with me to up on the hill to contact the ETs to do a close encounter of the fifth kind is when you try to contact an ET.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we didn't have the energy to hike up the hill, so we were just doing it in the backyard. And suddenly we got the impression it was this little girl. And so we're describing her to each other, and we both described the same little girl.
Wow.
So we both knew we were seeing the same little thing. So we're seeing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's dressed in a party dress, and we only differed on her party shoes and the length of her blonde curls, and that was the only thing. And I thought, so I said to the little, in my mind, I'm thinking to the little girl, okay, do you want me to call an angel so you can go see your parents? And she said, no, I don't want that. And immediately I thought, this does not feel right.
Red flag number one, yep.
Yeah, so I said, so we just left it there. And that's when my son said, you know, you don't know what you're dealing with. Do not invite them, because normally you'd say, well, you know, here, come to my house, you know.
Yeah.
And so I reminded my friend, and she said, you didn't invite her in, did you? She said, no, I didn't invite her in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something people need to be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's not possible that there's little children spirits, but I'm just saying, you know, I don't believe it's a real common thing. I would think it would be exceptionally rare, because if there's anything good and just and right in the universe, these babies wouldn't be left to wander. You know, something would bring them home.
Yeah, that's what my son felt. He says they immediately angels will come and take them home.
Hmm. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm glad that he has that same point of view.
He has a lot more experience. It's so funny. I mean, things happen to my family, and even with him, we just don't sit there and talk, hey, guess what happened? Yeah, no, guess what happened? We just don't do that.
Sure.
We're talking about everyday things, so I'm sure that he's had experiences that I know nothing about.
Hmm.
And honestly, when he was a teenager driving his car very fast, I was glad I didn't know about those experiences. Yeah, I was going 90 miles an hour down this road, geez, with no lights on.
Yeah,
don't tell me anymore. Even now, it's going to upset me.
Well, it sounds like he turned out okay, though. That's good.
Okay, now that reminds me of a couple more stories. So my sister in this house, she said one time she got up in the middle of the night, she steps into the hall from her bedroom, and she said it was like being in one of those fun houses with the mirrors where everything's just kind of tilted and crooked.
Mm-hmm.
Like the walls were slanted.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, of course, it freaked her out. She jumped back in the bedroom, and then when she looked out again, everything was back to normal. But I think what happened was because they say portals on this earth come and go, I think she had stepped into a portal.
Oh, good. Yeah, and then reversing her steps was probably the right thing.
Yeah, because I've heard stories where people just disappear.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a ton of those, and you know, that's a great point. Could it just be these arbitrary portals that open and close that people are just brought to another place?
Yeah, and it kind of makes me wonder about the 411 stories. Yes. Not all of them, of course, but sure. You know, yeah. Maybe that's what happens to some of these people when they never see them again.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's got to be... I don't know if there's one answer to the 411 missing David Pallaita's work, but I think that could certainly account for some of them, because there's like groups of people and suddenly someone will just not be there. And it's like, well, how the hell did that happen? You know?
Yeah.
So it's plenty bizarre, whatever's going on out there.
Yeah. I had a friend, oh, poor guy. He just didn't know you're not supposed to talk about this kind of stuff. This is when I was living in Colorado, and he had missing time.
Mm.
And the thing is he was in the military, and God knows what they do to those poor guys.
Oh, so sure.
You don't know who's doing the missing time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into that field, you know what I'm talking about. But he said he was, I think he was there in Arizona, living in a mobile home.
Mm-hmm.
And he stepped outside and found himself in a tropical jungle.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, he just stepped into another dimension.
Oh, that's insane. I mean, that's wonderful. I'm not discounting it at all, but I'm just like, what a profound experience, but scary. It must have been terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, naturally, he got right back in the mobile home again. Yeah. Which, again, was probably a good thing. You know, maybe more skilled people can just wander around in those places and get back to where they need to be, but very few of us, you know, have that skill.
Yeah, you know, and if they do open and close, you don't want to miss the doorway and be stuck in some jungle in Southeast Asia when you're supposed to be at work, you know, in 2 hours or something.
Yeah, I think that's everything that I can remember.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show again. It's always, it's been an amazing pleasure getting to know you and hearing about your not only your experiences, but your insights on them. I think that's a wonderful part of these interviews that makes it really fun for me, is talking about these things and throwing back and forth ideas and hearing your viewpoints, because I learn with every show that's like this. So thank you so much, Annie.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And you know, if more come up, let me know. We can do it again. You can come back for a third time.
Give it a few years, and I'm sure something will turn up.
I hope I'll be here doing the portal even then. So I'll be waiting for you. But thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at paranormalportal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody. Thank you.
betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.